Welcome back to Barely Serious. You're about to listen to episode 232, but before I get into the podcast, I have one show to plug, and it's kind of important to me, and it should be important to you too, Bend, Oregon. I will be back for the first time in 2 years. If you know the story, there was some weirdo shit that happened, and now my great aunt, she passed away, so I'll be in town in July for her funeral, and bam, guess who's doing a show? I'll be headlining in Bend, Oregon on July 12th. The funeral's on the 13th if you want to come. I think my aunt booked a public facility, so if you want to come to that too and pay your respects and maybe get some free tacos, let me know. But the show that you could pay to be at and enjoy my new hour of material will be on July 12th, probably 8 p.m. If it's not at 8 p.m., I don't know what the fuck we're doing. Information will be on my Instagram. With that out of the way, enjoy this week's episode. It is a good one. Welcome back to Barely Serious. This is episode 232. I'm out here in the whorehouse in an undisclosed location. Oh, I forgot to ask how to pronounce it. It's Voidovich, right?
Yeah, nailed it.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Allison Voidovich. What's up, dude?
Hey, dude. Yeah, happy to be here. I'm excited.
Good. We just did a 2 p.m. show.
I just went, like, there's a couple of stores in town that let me advertise my show posters, and I just stopped at one before we came over here, and they saw that I was dressed up, and they were like, oh, are you on the way to a show? And I was like, no, I just finished one. And the cashier also sighed.
Really?
I will say it was a fun show, though.
It was a lot of fun. I was expecting no people, and there was, what, like maybe 35?
Yeah,
30?
It was like pretty full.
Something solid.
Yeah.
It was weird because that was the second earliest I've ever done a show. I did a show in L.A. in 2019 at like 11 in the morning.
Oh, no. If and there's an a.m. on the timestamp.
It was actually fire.
Really?
It was fire. It was some like mimosa.
Oh.
Mimosa. I was going to say Mimosa Mondays, but I'm sure it was also a Sunday.
Right, yeah.
But it was at a Fourth Wall in Hollywood.
Oh, I've performed there before.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was actually, it was Perry Grohn and I forget his buddy's name, their show. But for me, I was coming from Orange County, California, and so I was driving. It took me like an hour to get there.
You had to wake up at like 8 a.m. or like 9 a.m.
I'm like, man, this show is going to suck. I have to drive, risk my car getting towed because I'm not paying for parking.
Right, yeah.
And then I walk in and there was like 70 people. I was like, how?
That's especially impressive for L.A. because I feel like everyone in L.A. is late to everything and nothing starts before noon there.
Yes.
Even office jobs.
And it's also tough because there's so much shit to do
in
L.A. that people are like, what, a comedy show at 11 in the morning?
Yeah.
Suck my ass. I'm not going to that.
Every time I've performed in L.A., it feels like the audience was threatened at gunpoint to be there.
Yes.
One gives a fuck about your quote unquote art.
It's a fair assessment because it's also because it's like they also have their own art that also probably is very niche.
They're their own main character, and when you're the one on stage, they don't like it. And yeah, they're probably doing something way smarter than us, so they're like, oh my gosh, these peasants.
I've been having like panic attacks going to like concerts lately.
Why?
Because it's like now, because I'm like in this weird position in my like now career where I'm like, oh shit, I'm like kind of like doing stuff. I'm like, I'm on the track to making it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying I'm making it, but I'm on the track of like if I was to be on a path to making it, I'm on that path.
Yeah.
And then I go to like now, like I just saw Oliver Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm watching him. I'm like, all right, that's a real person. He wrote these lyrics.
Right.
Where did he write these lyrics? Because like I'll write shit in the shower. I'm like, did he write this in the shower with his dick out?
Right.
And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, now I'm like thinking about this stuff. And then he's like performing. And I'm like, he had to rehearse this. There's so much money that goes into the production. There's all this stuff. And so now I think about all this shit now that I've been on the other end of it. And then what freaks me out the most is watching like all the other just normal people.
Yeah.
Not realize ass shit backwards from any of it.
They're right.
Like, there he is. Woo!
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, there he is. You know what he had to get through to just get to this point?
Yeah.
No idea.
No, I just had this conversation with one of my friends who,
really?
I've known this guy for years. He moved here. He, like, one of the craziest stories of all time, like, he went viral on Facebook singing to orphans in Uganda. He's from Uganda. Singing to orphans in Uganda. Some cruise ship offered him a job singing. He made money there. His agent picked him up from that, and literally now, like, the guitarist of the Black Keys is the producer of his debut album that's about to launch.
God
so like, this is someone who's like in the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a friend. Like, I met him when he first moved here and he didn't know shit about fuck about America. I was
yeah.
like I like yeah like whatever And it's so interesting because, yeah, he got to perform with the Black Keys on Friday. He opened the show for them at Stubbs, which is like so cool. But he was like so confused because he was like, I recognized someone in the audience. It was someone that I'm like had met a long time ago. And she came to say hi to me after the show and she was trying to get backstage.
Oh.
And he was like, why do people not understand that backstage is like a no-go zone? He was like, even though I'm on the show, I can't get you back there. Yeah. You know, things like that. And it's relevant to what you just said because you're right. Like people in the audience look at this guy singing the guitar on stage and they're like, this guy's so lucky. He doesn't have to work. And it's like, actually... I think he worked a lot more than you and he's more than he's more than allowed to also not allow you backstage. Like,
I mean, worked hard, but with some luck.
Yeah. With some luck for sure.
But, it is insane. I literally was having a conversation with someone today that, they're almost 21.
Yeah.
It's a buddy's buddy of mine. And he was like, man, dude, I can't wait to like go to a show. And he literally was like, I don't even know if I want to like go in the green room or anything. And I was like, dude,
you're not
going.
We're not offering actually.
I literally, and he was like, what? And I explained it to him. I was like, dude, sometimes I don't even want to go in the green room.
Yeah.
Like, even on a show I'm in, I'm like, And I'm like, I'll just sit in the back, guys.
That's one of those things. There's so many little, when we talk about like working hard and making it, like there is luck to it, right?
Yeah.
But I also think there's like social understandings that add to that luck, like green room rules specifically,
yes. Yeah.
You know, where it's like, yeah, I could be booked on a show, but if Joe Rogan is on that show, I'm not just barging into the green room. I'm going to get tackled by a black belt in jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? Like you have to understand the green room rules change per show and per producer and per location and your part within the show.
I almost don't like, I'll say it. I don't like being in the green. Even if I'm like headlining,
yeah,
I'm like, ah,
you know,
it just feels clicky. It feels weird where it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be back here.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'll just go see my buddy's set and get a beer.
Yeah.
You know, or it's just weird. Now, I think where it varies is if like, you know, if you're on like a Joe Rogan level, you're not just sitting in the back watching your buddies. You have to, you have to use the green room.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like for me, nobody's fucking hounding me at the show.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know, every once in a while, somebody will come up to me and be like, hey, man, I listened to the podcast. Big fan. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. If that's the bad encounter or like the crazy encounter.
Yeah,
then,
like that's it. And it's a great encounter. I'd rather be out there and get that.
Right.
Than be in the back where it's like, I'm sure once you reach a certain level, then you're like, all right, I'm just going to be back here.
Yeah. I do. I like being in the green room just because I feel like I'm more of an introvert on a lot of levels. And so for me, I need to like think about my set a little bit before I go up. But I do like to be in the house for the person before me, at least, so I can like see what's going on in the room. It's not that I'm completely ignoring what's happening out there, but it's like I want to just think about what I'm doing and then I'll peek out during people's sets and see what's happening and who's the rowdy one in the crowd and all that stuff.
I think it's more so, but I don't like talking to comedians like before a show because like it's like the same thing where it's like, all right, cool. I'm here to do my set. I'm, you know, whatever. And then you'll be back there and then somebody's like just like trying to do bits.
That is true.
And you're like, dude, shut the fuck up.
I've noticed that recently. I do understand not liking the green room for that because I do that isolate myself from everyone else in the green room.
Pisses me off.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I'll be in the corner. Or like even at like Creek when they had the TV, you know, y'all throw like a game on there, like just a random game. So I could just like have something to look at. So I'm not just like looking at the wall while
dude,
I'm ignoring someone.
The number of marble races I've watched on that TV. Someone always puts it on that or like MMA.
Because it's, I don't know, and it's so funny because it's like whenever, if you were to ask like Mike or Dom or anybody that like goes on the road with me, like what's like, if I were to like take you on the road and you were to ask somebody that goes on the road with me, what's like, hey, like what's like a good tip like for like success for like dealing with Galen?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, it is like dealing with almost thing. It's just is they would tell you to just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like we're if we're driving somewhere or on a plane sitting next to each other, I have my headphones in. I'm in my own world.
Totally.
I'm in my head. I'm doing bits or I'm listening to sets or I'm listening to music, but also like thinking about shit. And it's like, that's like travel time is thinking time. And then like, if you tap me on the shoulder and you're like, what do you think about this bit? And I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your
totally.
Bit.
Yeah, I'm thinking about my bit right now.
Like,
dude.
I don't give a shit about your bit, but it's also different for like me, Mike and Dom and stuff. Cause it's like, we've known each other for so long.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, They also know when to bring shit up.
Yeah.
And I know when to bring shit up.
It's just social awareness. And like,
yeah,
it is. I mean, that is, I think, a reason why people like end up with their little road crew. It's like you can work with a ton of different comedians that you vibe well with or riff well with, or like the show is solid with all of you. But like, that's one level of chemistry. And then being able to not kill each other on the road for weeks or months at a time is a different level of chemistry. Like, I've known Celia Contreras for years now, and she just took me to a couple shows in West Texas, and we were joking, like, oh, well, now we know, like, we actually can do this, because we understood the vibes. It's like, we chit-chatted a lot of the road trip, but as soon as we got to the hotel, we had, like, 3 hours before the show, we both just stopped talking and ignored each other, and after, like, our silent time was done, and we were like, fuck, we got to get ready for the show, she literally was like, thank you so much for us not even having to discuss that. Like, you know?
It's crazy. It's just one of those things where it's like, I just don't like people.
Yeah.
I just don't like people. And I love people. We're in a business where you have to love people, and like, we need people and all this stuff. But it's like, if you're like trying to do it, like write a joke with me or trying to do this, or you come up to me after the show and say some weirdo shit, I'm like, oh man, I don't even like, literally, I just headlined the weekend at the Harrisburg Comedy Zone. And after the last show, the late show on Saturday, these chicks came out, and like, one of them wanted to fuck me.
Right.
And so her friend was like, I don't know, trying to like wingman, but women can't wingman. They suck. They suck. So her version of wingmanning for her friend was trying to embarrass her.
Oh, like, no. In front of me. She's like negging her friend you.
And like, I'm like, I have eyes. I don't need to.
Yeah.
I could see she's not that hot. You know, like, I don't need you to point that out. You know, like, I, my eyes work. Thanks.
I can see that your like, friend's a six. Yeah, stop just, talking her just, down.
Ear. Like, I can, I have my eyes work. All right. I checked this morning. I don't know if you saw me on stage. I was looking at people. They work.
They were not doing well.
But it was, you know, and it's just like, literally just like, oh, my friend wants to fuck you so bad. And then, you know, like, I quickly scan the friend group of like, who I hope it is.
Yeah.
And then it just wasn't. And I was like,
it's always that. That happens to the chicks too. Like,
really?
Destiny and I, like, I like rarely like go out. I was joking. I'm drinking a hard kombucha today. Like, that's so alcoholic of me.
I feel special.
Yeah. I was, well, I had a hard coffee at St. Patty's Day show. So I was like, fuck it. Let's keep
going.
More
than one. Yeah.
Yeah. But Destiny and I went out the other night. We weren't even drinking, but we were like, fuck it. Let's just go dance. And there was this guy this group of people dancing by us. And there was one that I was checking out. And then another guy came up and started dancing with us. And like, I wasn't acting super into it, obviously. And then Destiny was like, you know, texting me on the side being like, he's cute. Like, what do you think? And I had to be like, I was looking at his friend. You know, it happens all the time. Like,
all right. So time out. What's your version of checking out? What do you mean? Were you like throwing kind of like?
Wasn't like trying to get him to come over. I just like quickly scanned the group and was like, oh, that's the cute one.
Like, so, like if he came up and said some nice shit, you would have fucked him?
I don't know if I would have. I mean, I'm not like the type that's just going home and fucking randos all the time. But I would have definitely danced with him and been like, yeah.
You would have gave him the door was open.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever talk to the guy?
No.
What the hell?
Well, I mean, his
friend... Well, why wouldn't you go up to him?
Well, I wasn't necessarily like, I want a guy to come up to me, but I just noticed that he was cute in the group. Like,
and that was it? So you weren't like...
I wasn't actively trying to like get someone to come up to me. But I am the type that's picky enough to be like, oh, well, his friend came up to me, but I wasn't checking his friend out. You know what I mean?
Well, was his friend ugly?
No, he was fine.
Well, then what the hell?
Like I said, I wasn't just like out trying to get some that night. I was mostly just out dancing.
Well, I feel like most of the time chicks aren't just out to get some.
Yeah.
That's why it's so not hard, but like it takes a little bit of suave, a little bit of, you
for
know,
sure,
pizzazz.
Yeah,
to like...
but I don't know. I think I'm incredibly shallow. Like for you to convince, like for you to be a rando and walk up to me and like want to take me home, you have to be like almost a 10 in my eyes. Like it has to be like, I have to be so attracted to you. It doesn't really matter what
someone,
else.
What makes someone that level of like attractive versus not?
I don't know.
I mean, you don't know. If you're shallow, you know.
I'm into super like fit looking, like pretty boys essentially.
Okay.
So like, you know, Captain America types or okay. like that build on whatever skin color. Like, I don't care about skin color, but like, yeah, that
I hope
build.
Not. You brought that like, up on your own.
No, but I just mean like, I mean like some people say Captain America and they only want blonde hair, blue eyes. Like, I don't, I
Captain
just
America's
like that build,
black now.
You know, he is.
Yeah. Have you not been watching the movies?
No. Did they change it?
It's Anthony Mackie. He's Captain America now.
That's funny, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't been keeping up. But yeah, so I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't just like go out looking for randos usually. I don't usually do that. Yeah, there's been like a couple of periods in my life where I'm like, fuck it, let's go. But like, it's not.
What do you mean in your, okay, so this is what I wanted to talk about in the first place. So when I was like, I gotta have Allison on. Like, this is what I wanted to talk about to start with. And then we got distracted for 15:34.
Hell yeah.
With great stuff. That was a fast 15 minutes. So you were engaged.
I was.
Okay. How long were you with this dude? Total time.
3 years.
Including the engagement, like total time 3 years?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That was a fast engagement.
He proposed like 2.5 years in, which I did also feel like it was a little fast. I mean, they were just like.
Clearly you called it off.
Yeah. I mean, there were the speed of the engagement and just like the circumstances of the engagement. Like, he asked my parents like the day that he proposed or something. And like, personally, I was like, I don't have to have my parents' permission, but I think it would be nice for you to tell them that you want to propose and like have that conversation with them.
You told him that before he proposed?
Correct.
So you guys were talking, he didn't just like surprise you at SeaWorld?
No, he didn't like randomly propose, but it was like we had kind of just had the conversation and then it like happened really fast.
How did he ask him? Did he just like send a text?
I think he, so in his defense, I will say, I think he was trying to like meet up with them for a few weeks and they were
okay,
like,
you say in his defense, let me clarify this. I'm on his side
for
all
yeah,
of this.
But, like,
I will, for the sake of the podcast, I will argue and be on his side.
Okay.
All right. From just assume I'm on his side.
Okay. Well, I mean, I want to also make it clear. Like, I don't hate the guy. Like, obviously, like I'm not happy with how things went, but like, I obviously loved this person and was going to marry them at some point. So it's not like I hold this huge grudge. And also the joke that I tell about him, I told while I was dating him. I had his permission. He fucking loved that joke.
What, the one about him sucking his own dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I pulled you aside. I was like, yeah, I could suck my own dick too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you act like it's that impressive.
You and a couple of other people have told me that. And I'm like, it's so funny because the majority of people pull me aside to be like, is that true?
Really?
And yeah, like, I know it's true because more people have told me.
Yeah, I mean, I did it in like eighth grade. I was in middle school and I was on Facebook and I saw... it was like a meme, but it was like the position. And I was like, I wonder, because I used to do like, when I would like jack off, I would do like crazy shit.
Yeah.
Like not crazy shit, but like crazy. Like, I used to like my desk that I would do my homework at, I had a metal fold up chair.
Yeah.
And like to like masturbate, I would like lay on the ground and I would fold up the chair and I would like lay like the edge of the chair on my nutsacks. Like the
so
cold,
there's pressure.
The pressure, the cold metal pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I was getting jerked off by the Iron Giant,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
But it felt good.
Anything to make it not feel like it's your hand.
The coldness, it
it's
felt
something
good. Yeah.
Else. Yeah.
Oh, I used to hold an ice pack for 5 minutes and then jack off, which was a game changer. You could also sit on both of your hands for like 10 minutes. Changes
you
the
like
game.
The cold. Okay, I was gonna say, because I feel like dudes like the like nut pressure, like they like the heat of a hand on their balls or whatever.
It's
so
not
like,
the heat of the hand.
It's not the heat. It's the pressure.
I think it's the pressure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the like the coddling. I don't
know.
I don't know. I'm not a fucking scientist.
You're just the first person that's told me they like the cold thing. So I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I don't know if I like the cold thing.
It's just the pressure.
But I have had that a few times where like a girl will be like blowing me and then she grabs it and her hand has just been like off to the side for
and
a while
cold.
And it's cold.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh. Like, it's like, I don't know what it is, but it's like icy hot.
It's an ice bath for
it's
your
like,
balls.
I don't know. It's like,
a little
it's
shock.
Like, it's like icy hot. It's like, why do people like that? Why wouldn't you just like the hot part? It's
because
the cold part's what actually feels good. The cold part after is what actually relieves the tension.
Right. Because the cold makes it. It could be that. It could be like, yeah, because the cold like makes things like get tighter or whatever. And then
maybe
the heat
yeah.
relieves it.
I don't know. I just think
if you're a ball scientist listening to the podcast, would love to know.
So I'm curious why you called it off.
So I would say, I mean,
and also secondary question, if you say you love this guy as a person and all that stuff, why didn't you just like pause on the wedding part and just stay dating the guy.
There were too many things that didn't match up. Like, once I realized it wasn't, like, looking back on it now, like, we didn't agree on a lot of things that we should have agreed on. It was one of those things where it was like, I do really love this person, but, like, the lifestyles ultimately didn't match up as well.
It's pretty big.
But the thing in the moment that was like the straw that broke the camel's back, where I was feeling like, okay, this is really stressful. I don't know why this relationship is so stressful. Like, I feel like I'm putting in all this work and it's just not what we want it to be. Like, neither of us is happy. The straw that broke it was he moved in with me and my roommate because his lease ended and mine was over in like a couple of months. So we're like, let's just ride it out here, you know, and then whatever. And I knew he had issues with alcohol in the past, but he allegedly was like past them. And it was very obvious once he moved in with us that that wasn't true. Specifically because my roommate, like, he would only drink when I would leave to go do shows. So she was the one that caught him. So, and it wasn't just like, you know, he's having a couple beers to chill out. It was like, he's going to the store to like grab a handle and like walking home drinking that and then hiding that in his car until he can hide it in our trash can with multiple trash bags.
Okay.
Like, bad addict behavior. And it ultimately just was like, one night he ended up just finishing a handle of some really nice stuff that wasn't mine or his. It was my roommate's.
Oh.
And he didn't tell us. And because he was so drunk, he left the puppy out and the puppy ended up tearing up the pantry and getting sick. And so it was just one of those things where I was like, okay, well, because you were hiding this one thing, now my roommate's dog could like be potentially really fucked and like you stole this thing from her and weren't going to tell her, you know? So it was like,
well, what a clown. I would have been like, the dog drank it.
Yeah, right. Fucking idiot.
I would have grabbed the bottle and just thrown it in the in the
dog
corner.
Had the munchies. That's what happened here.
Jesus Christ, dude. I would have smashed the bottle on the ground and said he knocked it off the counter or something. Yeah, right. You know? This guy just left in the trash, was like, my bad.
He double bagged it and hid it underneath our other garbage. That's how he was hiding it. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. I mean, that was ultimately because, you know, once you find out someone's lying about that, then it's like, I just can't trust you anymore.
Right.
You know, so. Right. And like I even said, that was the hardest part for me is like, I really feel like I'm pretty forgiving in like a relationship and I really don't feel like I'm a high maintenance girlfriend. Like I want you to be happy and I want me to be happy. And as long as we're just happy together and making each other's lives better, like that's what I want. And
that's what everybody says.
Yeah.
That's what everybody says.
For sure.
Everybody says
it.
That. What are you? You're not going to sit here and be like, I'm a cunt. Yeah, I fucking make his life hell. Who wants me?
But I think I'm allowed to say that because anyone else that I've dated besides him, I have like a decent relationship with still. Like I'm still friends with them. Like he was the only one. And I had to like.
That's weird to me.
Cut him off.
Do you still fuck any of them?
No.
That's weird to me. How good of friends like are you talking? Like they just follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, like we'll text each other once in a while for like happy birthday. Yeah, it's not like we're close.
All right,
you know?
Cool. I was about to say no, that'd be weird. I can't just go from like, you know, banging you all the time
for
to like now I'm just like supporting you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. That's
feel
tough.
Right to me. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like everybody says what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And then so it's for me it's I'm like I never lie. So I'm like 1,000% brutally honest.
That is actually true for being I actually do believe you on
like,
that.
No matter what, even with women, with anything, I don't fucking lie because a lie I told in 2009 led to my childhood dog dying in 2015.
Oh, damn.
And it's because of a lie I told six years earlier.
Right.
And so like once that happened and I realized that lesson, I literally haven't lied since then.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'd rather be and I will be an honest asshole than like a nice liar.
Yeah.
1,000% of the time.
Yeah.
Like no matter what. Even like if don't ask me if you look fat. Because I'm like, you look fat. Don't fucking ask me shit. Because I will tell you the 100% truth.
Right.
And every single girl thinks at the beginning that that's awesome. They're like, at least we know where we stand. At least, you know, I know you'll never lie to me. Like all this stuff. And like, yeah, it's true. Until you hit that one point where you're like, why didn't you just like say something? I'm like,
You hit that one point where we're sitting at dinner and you see me checking out another girl and you ask me and I say, yeah, she's fucking hot. Yeah, and now you're mad at me. And it's like, yeah.
Something along
those
lines.
But like, I say that because it's like, that was what was weird too with this relationship was like, I didn't care if he said shit like that. Like,
that's
we
cool.
had clear communication in those regards. So it was just an extra mind fuck to be like, oh, but he was lying about this other thing.
Right.
And what I was trying to say was like, it wasn't the alcoholism or the problem with the alcohol that was my issue. Like, I was willing to see someone through that.
It was the lying about
it. Yeah. And the fact that once he was caught, he didn't want to, like, actually admit that there was a problem. Like, he had, quote unquote, done all of these things and, quote unquote, hated that he was doing it. But he really didn't. He didn't want to go to traditional therapy. He didn't want to, like, go to an AA meeting. Like, he didn't want to try any of the, like, proven methods to try and get over it. So
I think that just means your head game is trash.
You had, like, to suck his own dick, so clearly. Yeah, I mean,
you were like, if you don't do all these things, I'm leaving. He's like, how about I do none of these things?
Yeah.
How about I do nothing? I told you I'm gonna be on his side. Like,
so many people have tried to be like, you must be so bad at sucking dick if he had to fuck himself. And I'm just like, no, actually it says that I'm really good at sucking dick if he could blow himself and he stuck around for 3 years.
Still didn't.
So
yeah. All right. Now I'm swinging back to your side a little bit. you're convincing. But the reason that I brought this up and the reason that I thought about it is because and it's going to lead to a question, and I think you're going to know the question at the end of it. So my cousin, I'm not going to say her name or anything. My cousin, well, any family listening to this knows
what cousin I'm talking about. Who it is.
I only fuck with like two cousins.
Got it.
And so one of them, she was engaged to this guy, and this guy was like really nice. He was like from Peru. He was this really nice dude. He wasn't like attractive by any means.
But he was like a good person.
But he was like a good person. And when they were together, I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
And so she's like 4 years older than me. So she had to be like, I had to be like 17.
So she's like early 21. 20s. Yeah.
Yeah. So like early 20s. Yeah. So she's 5 years older than me. And so like, but I could tell even as like a teenager, I was like, oh, this is like a good guy.
Yeah.
And the family loved this dude. And like, I just remember being at like Thanksgiving or I think it was Christmas, because Christmas, it was like, we were having like a get together. And so like, I think we were just like, oh, we're just going to go get like In-N-Out.
Right.
You know, because we were at the age where like the family kind of was starting to split off. Everybody was getting older.
Right.
Nobody really wanted to cook.
The cousins are growing up a little
cousins
bit.
Cousins growing
there's
up.
There's not kids anymore, really.
Yeah, there were some kids, but like they weren't invited.
Yeah. You know? There's the cool cousins and the kid cousins now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And but he brought like a ham, and we were like, oh shit, like that's crazy. Like this is some like, and he was like meeting us for the first time.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And he was just a good dude, right? Now, I never talked to her about this, so he could probably be like a piece of shit behind the scenes, but he wasn't. Like, I know he wasn't.
Right.
And so they were engaged. They got engaged, and he took her with him to Peru or Venezuela, wherever the fuck this dude's from.
Right.
And like introduced her to like his whole family, and then like the second they got back, she like called it off.
Oh wow.
She like called off the engagement or whatever. And then I think I heard that she was planning to call it off like before she even went there.
Yeah.
But then was like, yeah, free trip
fuck
to Peru.
It. Yeah.
You know? And then it went anyway, and then broke it off. And I was there at like my grandma's house when they she called her mom to be like, hey, I broke it off with Mario.
Oh jeez.
And then like, dude, my aunt who just passed away, who I'm going to the funeral,
right,
it's speaking at the funeral. So if you want to see me, if you want to
do my tight five,
if you want to see me give a eulogy and perform stand up comedy the night before. And you live in Bend, Oregon. This is a package deal. Come get some free tacos and watch me give a fucking eulogy.
Oh, man.
It's actually be a great eulogy. I started doing comedy because, well, it's a long backstory, but I gave the eulogy at my uncle's funeral.
Right.
And then while everybody was like, there was like 300 people there, and while everybody was crying during my speech, they were also laughing.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, man, if I could make these people laugh while they're sad,
yeah,
what can I do when, you know, people are happy?
Right.
Went to my first open mic, never stopped.
Nice.
And so I'm like excited to get back.
Coming back to your roots.
Yeah. My first open mic. Just like, it was a funeral.
Ready to return to where it all started.
But this one's a celebration of life, not a funeral. So I'm like able to like actually like give like a,
make it more fun.
Like a heartfelt, yeah, like, you know, whatever, where like the eulogy I gave at the funeral, I was like in a suit.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
see
yeah.
How you've seen how I dress.
Yeah. You know, like, you're gonna show up in Galen attire for this one. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's gonna be a party. But yeah, everybody was like crying and shit, and like to this day, like my grandma comments on like his, like I'm friends with him on Facebook, and like my grandma will comment, we miss you, we love you, like stuff. And I'm like, dude, this is like 5 years ago, get over it.
Yeah.
It's like this guy could be married by now. You know, like you just don't know. But I was like, I just remember, like, I remember when it first happened, I was like thinking, man, like, kind of like, what a bitch.
Right.
You know, like, what the hell? And then, like, more and more people I know have, like, called off weddings. And then now that I'm, like, older, I'm like, yeah, getting married is retarded.
It's also, like, it was a, I mean, this is, like, it was a big lesson for me, like I said, where it's, like, I can love someone, but they can be not right for me, which is, like, such a cliche, but, like,
yeah,
I think that's something people don't really understand until they get into it or they see it happen. I also, like, never wanted to be the chick that was like, I'm the one that called it off. If I'm being really honest, it was kind of a messy breakup. Like,
you were like, hoping for him to dump you?
No, but so what happened was, like, I did ultimately have to be like, this isn't working, you know, we need to stop it or whatever.
Right.
But this is, like, so petty too. Like, he posted about the breakup on Facebook, and that's ultimately what even made me, like, change the joke to even say, like, oh yeah, well, I broke up with him because
did you share it? I did share it. I did see this
because I
did see this, and I remember seeing it and I was like, what the fuck?
I asked, well, yeah.
And I didn't even know you really at the time.
It was so insane. He literally took a selfie of us, like, at our last time, like, together. Like, we broke up and he was still living with us. He had a week left living with us, and so we actually were very nice to each other that week. Like, no fighting, obviously, because, like, why would we fight at this point?
It's done, yeah.
And so it was actually, like, kind of nice. And then, yeah, we went to, like, go get food or something before he had to go, like, catch a flight for work somewhere. And he, like, asked me to take a selfie while I'm crying saying goodbye to him. And, yeah, and he, like, fucking posted that selfie, which is, like, so insane. Like, this whole series of events, I'm like, I cannot even believe this is real life. He posted that selfie with this long-ass thing about, like, Allison and I have ended our relationship and all this stuff. And I had told him, like, I just want to change the status on Facebook and then leave it at that.
Right.
And be like, hey, like, this didn't work out. Please don't ask me about it. Like, I don't want to do anything about making a fanfare of this. And he, like, did this whole thing without asking me. And so I just reshared it and was like, yeah, we broke up.
That's crazy.
But what was crazier and what ultimately, like, made me mad in a way that I didn't want to be was I was
so
like,
so you weren't mad right away?
I was mad, but, like, I didn't want to be publicly mad.
Right.
And he went and made it a public thing kind of by doing that. And I was like, fuck. What really made me mad was, like, after I shared that, I had so many people, especially, like, male friends, like, in comedy and stuff, being like, I can't believe he dumped you.
Oh no.
And I was like, I didn't even want to go into the details of what happened. I was happy to just be like, we broke up and that's it.
Right.
But now everyone's coming to me being like, oh, you poor Allison, you're a victim.
Because
he posted first.
Yeah.
And what was funny was all the girls were coming to me being like, good for you on breaking it. They saw right away, like, good for you on breaking it off. And so I just didn't even like that. I was like, fuck, now I have to correct this story that people have that I didn't even want to tell them that I did this. Because it was, like, the hardest decision of my life to have to end an engagement. Like,
right.
I wanted to marry this person. And, yeah,
well,
so it just that was, like, so fucked, you know?
Again, I'm on his side.
Yeah, for sure.
Good.
But, I
mean, I would
do
the same thing.
Yeah, it just makes, like, it so sticky. Like, and you don't even, like, understand what you're going to feel until you go through that. So, like, Lord knows what she was dealing with. I mean, she might have found something out about his family that she didn't like, or maybe his family didn't like her. And she was like, I'm not going to work here. You know, like, whatever.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
It's just also one of those things where it's like, she was also, like, young as shit.
Yeah.
Where it's,
I mean,
like, why the fuck? And
21
she was like,
is so young. 20...
And she's like,
yeah,
you know, in, like, an objective way, she's hot. So it's like, why would I
right.
Why would I get married right now?
Yeah.
And to, like, it's not like this dude is rich or, like, anything.
Right.
And he wasn't, like, that attractive or
yeah.
anything. So it's like, really, you're just marrying some nice guy. It's like, that's what you do when you're 35 and you have... You have no other choice.
You have your own financial stability.
Yeah, like, you have two kids already. You're like, let me marry the guy that's going to set a good example for, you know, Bethany or whatever.
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah, I mean, you know, like, I grew up here. So, like, it's interesting because, like, my brother's younger than me and he's already been married for 3 years.
Jeez.
He's 20. He's about to be 27. His wife's 26. And they got married at, yeah, I guess 23 and 24 or whatever. And, but, like... In a case like that, it's like they met in college. They're both like, they have very similar families. Like our parents are like really good friends now. And like, it just makes sense. They're both like sorry, yeah, objectively attractive.
Right,
they're both
right.
like have very similar mindsets. They're so happy in their marriage. Like,
right.
So like I see that and I'm like, it's definitely possible. It's just, I don't know. Like I see so many people meeting their high school sweetheart here also and getting married. Like that's very much a thing still here. Like a lot of
it's
the
a
people
thing in where I'm from too, in Orange County. It's a very, I think that's a thing everywhere. Really.
Yeah.
I think people see a movie.
Yeah.
And, like,
and it's like, and there's no hate to them. Like, I'm not seeing,
I have hate for it.
I'm not seeing any issues with the one that ones that I've seen from Round Rock, but it's like, I also know that like, that's not the only option. And I know how much I've changed between 20 and 29, you
right.
know? So it's like,
most people don't even get a chance to see that change. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I've realized through doing stand up and like going back and headlining my hometown a few times is that the people that come out, and it's like they'll come up and I talk to them after the shows and they'll say shit that makes me sad because it's like they'll be like, oh man, you're really, you know, that you're really doing it. And then they'll and I'm like, well, what's going on with you?
Right.
Nothing. And it's like stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh man. Or even the ones where it's like, yeah, I got married, got divorced. Now I just have like a kid. And like,
right.
I almost wasn't able to come to the show tonight because of like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, that's like sad.
So
it, like,
I was going to ask you
out.
That. This question just popped up in my head. Do you think, because we obviously all like talk to a lot of comedians and stuff. Do you think if you make the decision to get married early, you see less of a drastic change in that decade versus those of us who were like, fuck it, I'm going to go chase a career chase.
I don't know about change. I don't really think about it as change. I think they're, I mean, I think it, I think I almost think of it as like almost like they're, it's like you had no goals. You're a loser. Mm. I think of it like that way. Sometimes it's not though. Like sometimes you really did find the one,
right?
And like you don't know until it's over.
Yeah.
Or you don't end. And
yeah.
It's like for me, like I've just seen so many where it's like really like her, like did she suck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it's even vice versa with my girlfriends. It's like really, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot. And they're like, oh, you're just being a hater. I'm like, no. Okay. I'll talk to you in a year.
Right.
And oh yeah, that guy was a moron. Yeah. No shit. I told you that fucking 5 months ago.
It's gotta be like tougher too, growing up, like the smaller the town is where you're from too. Like Round Rock isn't a small town, but
right.
everyone at my high school knew each other. And so it's like you have opinions of the high school person that you knew.
I think it's also different because it's like I'm also, people are like, oh my God, you're so right all the time. And I'm like, and I'm not right all the time. I just straight up am honest. So
well, and
I'll
also
tell
your
you,
job is to observe people.
Yeah. I know who's the piece of shit. I know who's trying to take advantage of you. I know who's the fucking the dumb bitch is. It's
right.
like, you know what I mean? It's like, I know who's just trying to fuck you. It's like, I know all this stuff, but that's not what I mean. I mean in a sense of like because I told you to your face what I think about this person, and you know, 9 times out of 10, you're fucking right.
Right.
You're not, you know who the fucking piece of shit is.
Yeah.
You're not all of a sudden the nicest person ever.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? Like, you know who sucks and you know who doesn't suck. And then if, because I tell you right away, and then in the end, oh, whoop-de-doo, that person fucking sucks. Wow, you're always right. I'm not always right. I just fucking told you earlier. Everybody else was thinking the same thing.
Right.
They just didn't fucking tell you.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it doesn't make me right.
Yeah.
I mean, it does make me right, but it doesn't make those other people wrong.
And it doesn't make you smarter than everyone else. You are just being more honest sooner.
It's, you know, it's just one of those things where it's also, I mean, I don't know if, I think that the people who get married young and then have kids, they go through a different growth. It's like ad libs. It's like,
right.
or mad libs. It's like you, it's a different type of growth. Whereas I'm kind of going through like this growth of like in my career and like within myself because all I have is myself.
Right.
Whereas they could rely on this other person and grow with this other person. Whereas that's why when they split off and then
it's hard.
And then they're like, oh, I was with this. I got married when I was 20. I got divorced when I was 25. Now I just have this kid and like, I don't even know who I am. It's like, yeah, cause you didn't know who you were to start with.
Right.
Where it's like, I don't want to get married. And I know that that's because of who I am. And it would take away from where I'm going and like the trajectory that I'm on where, you know, but if I were to get married, I know now within myself, I'm like, okay, like here's the boundaries. Like I'm doing
right.
comedy. I'm doing this. And you have to be okay with that.
Right.
And most people aren't, which is why it's awesome. Cause it's like,
yeah.
Because most people aren't. They're not cool with that. They say they are in the beginning and they're like, all right, I'll give you a chance.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, they're like, well, why don't we go to dinner? And it's like, I got to go to Creek and drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
Like,
I do think it's just, it's got to be like, it just changes your mindset on how you make decisions. Cause like, I'm one of the rare comedians whose parents are still married and they have like actually a very happy relationship. And like, I joke with them that they fucked me up by giving me too good of an example, because like they are the stereotypical grew up in small towns next to each other, met in high school. He was in college, she was in high school, like been together since then. Hey, it was the '80s. But like, you know, like whatever, like they've been together since they were like 18 and 20 or whatever the fuck. And so it's like, you know, and they've got this lovely marriage. Like I had a good childhood, like, and they still like are kind to each other, but it's like, that was a decision that they made too. Like, I think people forget, like, it is a decision. Like if you're like, and I'm not saying that getting divorced is bad. I do think that's also a good decision if you're unhappy, but like, you know, we look at the people that get married at that young and we're like, oh shit, that's crazy. But that just wasn't our decision. That was their decision. And it's just whether you decide that that continues to be good for you or not. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. A moment that I had like within my own life where I realized, cause it's like, cause I think, like if I were to take back and think about what I said about, I think those people are losers, and they're not losers, but in sometimes, you know, I see when I'm like, what a fucking loser. Like, really?
Okay. Some people are losers. Like marriage is their best option.
And that's all they have.
But
right?
Like, yeah.
But then I would have to break it back into my own life. I'm like, okay, well, my mom, you know, got knocked up by some professional golf player. He went back on, you know, on tour or whatever.
Right.
Now I'm here. And then, you know, all this other stuff follows with my brothers and stuff. I'm like, okay, well, if I think that those people are losers, by definition, my mom's a loser.
Right.
And, you know, do I think that my mom's a loser? No. But if I were to be objective, if I were to, like, objectively look at my mom's life and then just hers,
right,
exclude anybody else, like, okay, well, I don't know. Maybe she wasted it.
Right.
You know? But then that's when you plug in these other things where you plug me in. She had me when she was, you know, 19. And mm-hmm. So then it's like we grew together. We, you know, we almost like we grew together. I had a single mom.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so it's like, oh, you know, you grew up with a single alcoholic mom. That must have been crazy. It's like, well, was she an alcoholic or was she just 21?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's fucking, if you just really break stuff down. And I had this moment where I think, so I was 15 or 16. My mom was addicted to smoking cigarettes, among other things. And she, you know, was trying to quit smoking cigarettes. And then she went like a week without smoking cigarettes. And so I scraped together like the last, like, I don't know, like $10
right.
that I had. I didn't have a job or anything when I was fucking 15, 16. Yeah. But, you know, I'd find money on the ground or like, you know, win bets at school, shit like that. And I got an ice cream cake from Baskin Robbins, which was across the street from where we lived. And I walked back and, you know, me and my little brother, we were like, ah, congratulations on like quitting smoking, right? Like 4 days later, she was smoking cigarettes again.
Right.
And so like I had, you know, it's just like this cycle. And then I just had this like realization. I was like, my mom is almost like still a kid.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
She didn't have like a come to grips moment where she's like, oh, I'm an adult. It was just kind of just got thrown into the fire. What's, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. And I kind of realized it because she married my stepdad, and she pretty much only married my stepdad because he had money and stability and was able to kind of bring me out of the super poverty that we were in.
Right.
Even for like whatever brief moment they were married. And so I was like, you know, I had to think about it in a way of just like, women kind of do stuff to like survive.
I think everyone does.
Everybody does.
Yeah. It just looks different in each gender.
I don't know if it almost looks different. I just think in my own experience, it just looks that way.
Right.
I'm sure that other people have examples where their dad did some shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? But in my personal experience, my mom was like a survivor and she would do stuff that would set me up. So she almost sacrificed stuff for me. Now sacrificing her life for me, does that make her a loser? Well, only if I become a loser.
This is going to maybe sound gay or meta, but I kind of feel like you're a loser if you are, whatever you're working toward isn't fulfilling in some way.
Well, define fulfilling.
That's what, but like to me, like maybe she had dreams or aspirations that didn't involve having a kid at 19. But as soon as that happened, now her fulfillment is making sure that you're set up for a better life so that you can have the opportunities to do those things. Rather than,
I don't know if that like eliminates the loser factor. I think that that just is what you're supposed to do. I think that's your job.
It's like your job, but I mean, like, I guess I'm maybe coming at it from an angle of like, I don't know. We have like so many eyes on us as comedians already that it's like, you can't think about that.
Think about what?
Like what other people are thinking after a certain point.
Right.
And so you're like, it's like, you're only a loser to someone else. Like you can yeah. be a loser to them, but like, it's like, if I'm happy and I'm paying the bills or I'm taking care of whoever I care about taking care of, like, as long as I'm like happy with that and they're safe, I don't really feel like a loser, you know?
I like to think of it in the way that I think of it, in just a way of like, I have to make it because it's like my mom sacrificed her life or her life so far, thus far.
Right.
That's what that's the point I'm getting to, is like, thus far she sacrificed her life up to a point to where I could sustain myself
right.
and then chase my dreams. And let's say within the next 10 years, boom, I make it. Boom, I'm on Netflix or whatever the fuck making it means to somebody.
Right.
And then I'm able to support her, yeah. take her to Hawaii, take her to do this stuff. Is she a loser? Well,
no.
Well, so then why is she a loser now? So it's very fluid.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I feel like her validity in the world really depends on me making it. Because like, let's say 10 years from now, let's say like where Shane Gillis is at right now. Let's say, boom, 10 years from now, that's me.
Right.
Objectively, let's just say that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, those people that she went to high school with who think that she's a loser because she got expelled from high school or all this stuff, oh, they're like, oh, shit, you hear about Jeanette's kid?
Right.
Like, holy shit. Like, dude, my kid watches...
Your kid.
Yeah, and so it's like, oh, dude, my kid just paid $50 to go see her kid.
Yeah.
Well, holy shit. I mean, do you still have her number? You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you think we can meet him?
Like, it completely erases
yeah.
anything else. So it's like, that's what's interesting, is she doesn't have the power to do this, but I have the power to completely rewrite her history.
Right.
Whereas if I become some homeless bum loser, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she got knocked up at 19, had this fucking dumbass homeless kid. She failed.
Right.
Whereas if I make it, it's like all of a sudden, holy shit. Like, oh, yeah. And then she, you know, she gets a book deal, the mother of Galen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Shit like that. And so it's like we have an opportunity where it's like she had the opportunity to sacrifice her life to make me better. I have the opportunity to sacrifice my life to make her life better
yeah.
and my kid's better.
Yeah.
And so it we're in a very weird niche where it's like, then if you look at the other people where it's like they got married, had kids, got divorced, the people I went to high school with.
Yeah.
It's like they don't even have that opportunity to do it. They're just another cog in the cycle.
Yeah.
Of, okay, maybe their kid can be successful.
Do you think it's like a thing? Because to me, this sounds like you have a mindset of like, okay, well, we're in this fucked position, but here's the opportunities to change it. I think a lot of it does have to just do with people's mindset. Like, mm-hmm. let's throw out the scenario you've been throwing. I got married at 20. I got divorced at 25. I have a kid now. What the fuck am I doing?
Right.
It's like, rather than being like, well, I've put 5 years into this corporate job that I fucking hate. Like, is there something that's giving me more fulfillment than that? Like, I do think that the problem a lot of these people that we're talking about have is that they just like, they think that their life is fucked and therefore they allow it to continue being fucked. You could easily allow your life to be fucked. Like you could easily sit here and be like, comedy's too hard. I hate it. I'm just going to go try and survive doing whatever the fuck. And like, as long as my mom isn't in a home somewhere, then like, cool, she's taken care of. Like, yeah. we're good. But you're like, no, I want to smash this out of the park. Because I know if I work hard enough, I can do these things because you see a path. And like a lot of people just don't even have the idea that there can be another path.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like if I don't make it by 35, I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, OK.
Like it's
listeners,
like,
you heard that.
It's like for real. And by make it, I mean like I'm not saying I'm fucking famous or I'm doing all this stuff.
But you're making like a good salary.
I'm making a good money.
And you can help your mom.
I'm doing shit where it's like, all right, cool. I'm still on this path. If I'm doing the same stuff I'm doing now in 7 years, I'm killing myself. Like it's over. Boom. It's over. Like I'd rather just be dead.
But I think
I can't just work.
Maybe that's what you just said right there. Like so many people are just doing the same thing for 10 years and that's why they're fucking sad. You know, like,
yeah.
It just like reinforces quote unquote loser behavior.
It's just weird because it's like people think that it's like an ultimate compliment to like after a show be like, oh man, it's like I'm almost like I'm like living through you. I'm like, don't do that, man. Live your own fucking life, bro. Like it's like you've given up that fast. We're the same age.
Yeah, I definitely
we're the same
like,
age.
I definitely don't think everyone should go do stand-up comedy. Like I don't think that's the solution, but I do think everyone has a thing that they can be that obsessed with.
Something.
That like
something.
Makes them happy for themselves and only for themselves. Like, and I think everyone does need that. That's kind of like beyond food and water and stuff, you need to have some sort of purpose. I do think that's why religion was so good for people for so long. At least they had some sort of greater purpose they were working toward.
Even if it was a shared greater purpose, exactly. Which I think is weird.
But it helps sometimes if you have other people working toward the same thing. I mean, comedians still do it. Why do we go to the creek all the time? It's kind of like church for us, you know? Like
a little bit.
It helps.
Yeah, except for God doesn't fucking book you to fucking host this communion.
I was dying at your joke about trying to pray earlier today because
really?
I was like, I was raised Christian and I do still pray and stuff. And like, I do believe in like higher power. I would just say it's not like a traditional Christian like thing anymore.
Yeah.
But when I sit down to pray sometimes, I'll be like, dear God, it's a fucking week. And then I'm like, shit, I'm so sorry. In Jesus' name, amen.
That joke is so funny. Because I've literally done that in front of her kids. Like, my cousins have come to the show.
Right.
Come to a show that I did in Oregon, in Bend, Oregon, actually. And I think that Hannah is actually, like, if she goes to the funeral, she'll probably go to the show.
Right.
And I'm going to do that joke at the show and fuck in front of her.
They'll probably love it.
Yeah, I think, it's also very funny when family comes to shows and I, like, make fun of my mom.
Right.
And they'll be like, you know, it's like her cousin.
Does your family laugh at those or are they like kind of weird?
Oh, they think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
They think it's hilarious because it's like it's also funny because like when I'd make jokes about my mom being an alcoholic, she's 15 years sober now.
Yeah.
So it's like, if we can't make fun of it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
for
like,
sure.
What the fuck are you even sober for?
You want 9/11 jokes? What the fuck? yeah.
And so it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, you make fun of, making fun of family is always hilarious because everybody has a fucking family.
Yeah.
Whether you're an orphan or not, you have a fucking family out there somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you can make jokes about how you don't know your fucking family.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, you could always make jokes about family.
Totally.
And so it's like, that's why those jokes always work. And I have a bunch of jokes about family that I do like on, like when I'm on the road and stuff. And so I love doing them in front of other family.
Yeah.
Because they're just like,
they know who it's about. Yeah.
It makes it that much. It does make it funnier.
Yeah.
Especially if they're there.
Right.
And then I just try not to like look at them. Like, I'll just like look at like a random grandma in the crowd or something.
I did the same thing. I have a joke about being a bridesmaid in like too many weddings in one year. And the girl who ended up having me be the officiant for the wedding, that's like part of the joke. And I just performed in Phoenix in front of her and her entire family. And when I got to that part of the joke, I intentionally didn't look at them because I didn't know if she wanted me to call her out. And then afterwards she was like, I wanted you to call me out. I'm like,
that's so funny.
You know, like, but yeah, I mean, that stuff's fun. It is silly though. I've noticed this lately and I didn't realize how much of a problem this would be because like I said, my ex thought it was hilarious when I would write jokes about him, but like,
right.
I noticed that dudes are so skeptical about dating a female comedian for a lot of obvious red flag reasons.
They just don't think they're funny or what?
That, but also they are like, you're going to make jokes about me and I don't want you to talk about me on stage. And to me, I find that so interesting because it's like any jokes about family I've just written and they don't care. But like any joke about someone that I've dated, if it's like obvious who I'm talking about, I've run that joke by them. Before I've done it.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if the joke might suck ass?
No, if it sucks, then I'll just try it at an open mic and then prove to myself that it sucks. Or if it works, then I'll run it by them. But like,
okay.
I'm not doing it on shows and like talking shit about the person that I'm dating without running it by them. And usually it's not talking shit. Like, I mean, the dick sucking joke could definitely be perceived that way, but
he
loved that joke and he was like, no, you should totally do it.
It's almost similar with like girls.
Get worried about that?
I don't really date, but well, yeah. So it's like, I'll fuck chicks and they'll say stuff like, don't make fun of me. And I'm like,
you
just fucked. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what am I going to go on stage? Yeah. I fucked this chick. She had red hair.
I mean, the take for me usually when someone says that is like, oh, you think you're interesting enough to put in my act?
Yeah,
like,
it's like, what are you talking? We didn't even do anything. You sucked my dick and then you left. It's like, what is there?
I gave you a TV.
I did do that for the last girl, but you know, she was worth it. She was cute. She also left the remote.
Oh no. So she has to come back and suck your dick again.
I know. Well, that's what I thought. And then I like was like, should I text her? And I was like, nah, head wasn't that good. But I was like, if she texts me, then sure, come
then,
over.
Yeah,
totally. You know what I mean? I'm not. It was one of those things, even with like the chicks from that I talked about with the Harrisburg Comedy Zone or whatever. I was like, I didn't want to fuck her. But like if she walked up and just like grabbed my dick, I'd be like, well, I'm not gay. Let's go fuck.
That's how dudes are. I had someone describe it to me one time. Like, you guys really don't need to do much. Just touch it. like, yeah, that's
it's like,
it.
I'm not gay. So it's like, it's also one of those things where it's like, guys will be like, it's so funny because it's like, you could tell like within, with guys who like, who doesn't like get laid off and who does. Because it's like, you could tell when a girl wants to fuck you.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, I have no idea. It's like, what are you talking about?
That's girls a guy that doesn't get laid a lot.
So obvious.
Yeah.
In like, but in like retarded ass ways. In like retarded ass ways. I've literally been like groped and shit. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah. And I'm like, do you want to, you trying to fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
It's maybe. Like,
yes, you do. Just say something. Use your words. Now there's people looking at us.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It is funny hearing dudes be like, there were so many times in high school where a girl was clearly hitting on me and I didn't realize it until afterwards.
High school?
Or college even.
Okay,
but
I
like,
I don't know about high school. I think everybody was retarded back
then.
Yeah,
everyone was stupid in high school for sure.
But college and afterwards, it's very, and I get, here's how I could always tell. Whenever I'm out drinking with a girl, I could always tell I'm going to fuck the chick because she'll start looking at my lips.
Oh, yeah.
She'll start looking at my lips when I'm talking. I'm like, oh, I'm in.
But okay, so again, this is coming back to the like, you're an observational person.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes just are not paying attention to shit. I dated a guy for really? 2 months who didn't know my eyes were blue. Like, okay, like... Let's be really clear here. Like, okay. There's a certain level of just being observant that goes with that, yeah. too.
Oh, I noticed. I literally noticed everything. I was literally out with that sorority girl. I went to go get us more drinks, came back, and she had, like, her hair was in a totally different position. And I was like, oh, you care about what I think.
Yeah.
And then
or you
she,
just
like,
see her playing with her hair, like, yeah. doing this thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's game over. The second, if I'm telling a story or if I'm talking to you and, like, you just, like, a girl, like, look at my lips.
Yeah.
Look. And then, like, look up and, like, look down at my lips. I'm like, oh, I don't even have to, like, try anymore.
Right.
Because there's sometimes where you're, like, out with a girl and you're, like, you know, sometimes you don't know. Like,
yeah.
it could go either way.
Right.
And, like, you know, so then, you know, I'll bring stuff. Guys in general, me, anybody will bring stuff up. We'll talk about it. Like, oh, yeah, sucking dick. Or
try and
or
make it a little bit.
Something. Bring up, like, spice it up a little bit.
Right.
But, like, the second I see a girl look at my lips, like, it, more than once, I'm like, all right, cool. I don't have to talk about how big my dick is. I don't have to bring up sex. I don't have to bring up any of this stuff because it's already in the bag. Now,
right.
anything me bringing it up beyond that is now me almost looking almost insecure and I could blow it.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things where it's like once it's in the bag, all right, let's you. And then so like with this chick, second I noticed her looking at my lips or whatever, then it's like she literally talked about how her fucking her dad died of brain cancer, but she was like looking at my lips in my response. And I literally went in for a kiss. We just started making out.
Oh, my God.
To her dead dad. And so it's like, it doesn't even matter what you're talking about. If the second she looks at the lips, it's over. And then the second we started making out, I pulled away and I was like, you want to kill these and get out of here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Boom. It's over. It's
yeah.
over. And it's like, people are like, how do you close? I'm like, it's not about me closing. It's about her like closing almost like on her own.
So, okay, your listeners are getting gold right now, by
yeah.
the way. I hope they fucking understand. The men are retarded out here.
You just have to pick up on it.
Galen is giving you guys stellar tips on the cues that a woman gives. However, I will also say it's so funny. Like, you're right. Like, if the makeout or the kiss is good at all and you are bold enough to say something like, let's kill these and get out of here,
yeah.
it's a yes 9 out of 10 times.
What is she going to be like? No, I need one more.
No, she's already like hot and bothered if you just did that.
Made her decision.
Especially if she didn't make it extra clear by leaning in herself or like saying something like, are you going to kiss me? If you just notice that she's looking at your lips.
It's over.
And then you lean in and just go for it. Yeah, for sure.
It's over. Every
for
time.
Sure.
Every single time. And it's like, it's like when I say every single time, I mean every single time, because I notice it, because when we first start hanging out, you know, we were looking
women
at
are feminists until they're horny and then they're like, I just want him to be so aggressive, and then yeah,
like,
it's game over.
I know how to close the game. I don't understand the game to the point of where, like, I don't know what I'm doing that then changes.
That leads up to
that
it.
Leads up to it. I don't know what I'm doing because I'm still talking the same. I'm, you know, I'm not doing anything different. But then
right.
all of a sudden something changes with her. And you just have to really, it's like fucking hunting a bull or something. It's like you just, the opening's there. Bam, you shoot it. And bam, you get it. I don't know why the bull appeared out of nowhere.
I do think, well, so I mean, like, male comics talk about this a lot because it's so different between male and female comics. Like, if couples are coming up to me after the show, it's the girlfriend wanting to talk to me because she likes me. Like, girls don't get
are
road
you talking
dick.
As yourself
yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
as the male comics
right I'm now? Talking about myself right
okay.
now. So like, yeah, like, female comics are often most often approached by other women, even if there's a couple approaching you, to tell them that they liked you.
Okay.
And I say that because, like, the dudes get road pussy. Like, you guys talk about it. Like, you guys being funny makes you more attractive to women. And I'm not saying you're, like, unattractive. I'm just saying, just saying, like, if it's especially if it's a scenario where she just saw you perform, uh-huh. it makes you more attractive to her. And then you being observant at all or direct at all is also attractive.
It's also realizing on, like, just little clues, because, like, a girl after a show isn't just gonna walk up and just, like, grab. I've had that happen where they've right. walked up and just grabbed my dick.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know if you think you're being funny right here, but, like, I don't like this.
I've been trying to write a joke about how guys want subtle crazy, not outright crazy.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come up and say, I wish I was grabbing your dick right now.
Right.
It's way better than just coming up and grabbing my fucking dick.
Right.
It's like, but the one thing where, like, I know on the road that I'm right. going to fuck a chick after a show is if they come up and ask for a picture.
Okay.
Because they don't know how to, like, start a conversation or even get that in. The second a girl's like, hey, can we get a picture? They're under my arm and we're taking a fucking picture, I'm like, what are you doing after this?
Right.
9 times out of 10.
Right. But what I was going to say to you also is, like, you grew up with a single mom. Okay. So you're, like, more used to talking to women. So, like, one of my really good friends who's, like, I had no idea he was such a good pickup artist. Like, he's always just been a brother of mine. But, like, we go out and I swear to God, this guy is picking up the hottest chicks. And he's, like, he's handsome, but, like, he's not, like, insanely, like, yeah. the guy that's striking everything,
not
right?
Ken.
And, yeah. And it's so funny because, like, I asked him one time, I was like, are you giving dudes pickup advice? Like, what the fuck are you doing that, like, gets all these girls to come talk to you? And he was like, well, I grew up with sisters, and, like, if there's a guy that grew up with sisters or with a single mom, he's probably more comfortable talking to women in general.
Uh-huh.
But with him, he was like, yeah, he's like, I talk to so many guys that just don't treat women like people. They don't know how to literally say, hi, my name is, and, like, introduce themselves, because he's like, guys will ask me all the time, what's your pickup line? What's your intro? And I literally say, hi, my name's Baldo. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite word? Like, he literally just says something so stupid that
the favorite color thing actually fucking works.
Yeah.
With that sorority girl, I used that twice. And it's like the repetition thing. So, like, once a conversation got a little bit too close to the edge of, like, you know, something, I'd be like, take a drink. So what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like, dude. And then she would die laughing.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like,
because it's so stupid.
What's your favorite movie?
It's
so dumb that girls think it's like, it's gold. It's retarded. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's like, that's why you see it in fucking comedy and movies and shit.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
It's relatable. But it's, I don't know. I'm not a pickup artist.
You don't look at women as, like, this thing that's, like, scary to talk to or difficult to talk to. And I think a lot of guys do.
I think women are pieces of shit.
Yeah, Galen hates women, guys. If you hate women, you are going to fuck so many of them. I have seen it firsthand. It's crazy.
I don't hate women, all right? I just think they're pieces of shit. Every single girl in my life, I could tell you, like, just, like, they're, like, just one of the most fucked up things. And you're like, well, that's really fucked up that they would do that to a guy. And then you hear, like, what my guy friends have done, and you're like, what a pussy.
Ah!
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
like,
even with me, it's like, I'm an asshole, but it's like the most fucked up thing I've ever done is just, like transfer drinks onto the chick's tab and leave. Girls get free drinks all the time. That's
true.
Essentially what I did.
You're like, that's reparations, dude.
It's essentially what I did, and that's the worst thing.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
It's so, but, like, in the moment it was bad. But,
yeah,
like, but
for
it's
sure.
funny now.
Yeah.
But then you think about, like if you think about, like, just,
it's like, ultimately,
anything,
no
like,
one was hurt. She just had to pay a little extra. Like, women will slash your tires and stab you, you know? Like,
and then go date someone else the next week.
Yeah.
And the guy's
send
like,
you the video of her fucking him. Yeah.
It's,
like,
it's insane.
Women,
it's insane.
Women just like the psychological torture so much more. So I had this conversation with Darian the other day.
Okay.
Darian Irwin, very funny. He'd mess it because he was writing a joke about something, and he was like, what is the female take on men with mommy issues versus men with daddy issues? Because he's like, I know the women with each, right? And so I was saying, I think men with daddy issues are more obvious because they're your stereotypical cheaters, liars, players, like probably the dude that's gonna like try and achieve massive success because he didn't have that masculine example, and then just like be the guy that can play everyone,
it's
essentially,
the man,
right?
Yeah.
The man, like the hyper masculine man, toxic man, if you will, right?
Sure.
And I was like, I think the mommy's problems ones, the guys with mommy issues are harder to spot because they do the female shit. So they play the mind games. They're the narcissists. They're the manipulators. They're the ones that it's like harder to tell at first because they seem like, oh, he's very empathetic and he can hold a good conversation and he listens to me. But then he uses all of that against you like a woman would.
Yes.
And we both agreed that the mommy issues are worse for both genders.
Okay.
And like, I think that's just like a really interesting way to think about it too, because it's like, yeah, the mommy issue guys learned from their moms how to be crazy, and the mom crazy is crazier than dad crazy. Does that make sense?
It does make
sense. So like, I fully agree with you for the most part that women are the crazier ones in the terms of like crazy stories. Yeah, for sure. Well,
I think everybody's pieces of shit, by the way. I don't think that's not like a thing.
It's just that women don't get told their pieces of shit enough.
It's not just that. I think it's more of that once, I think that women, it's the extremes. So it's like the stories that I have are like the full extremes.
Right.
So it's like you catch these women at their lowest point being like crazy.
Right.
And you're like, wow, what the fuck? But if you were to like go like if we're talking about like baseball and you're talking about like batting average.
Right.
The dudes do more piece of shit things consistently.
Yes.
But it's just the things that women do the one time, you're like, is holy way crazier. Fucking shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like the extreme. If you're looking at like the extreme, like the opposite ends of the spectrum, guys are in the middle, but they're always doing shit in the middle. Girls hit that one home run and you're like, what a bitch.
I think it's also partially because men can like pretty much always just physically assault us.
What the hell?
Like, not like, what the fuck? Not, no, I'm just saying like in terms of like you guys kind of always have the option of like being like,
what the fuck?
No, like, I'm not, okay, I'm not trying to make, like, I've never been assaulted, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Never?
I just mean, like.
Are you ready?
Oh, fuck. the recording just ends. Oh, my God.
This is how it would go. I would, like, try and punch you in the face, and you would just beat the shit out of me. You'd be like, what the fuck?
This is why I need to start jiu-jitsu, like, now. But no, I mean, in terms of like, I don't know, this is so not feminist of me to say, but like, I think women biologically understand that men are stronger than us. Okay. And so like, there's a lot of times where like, we know that physical stuff is not our option. Okay. And so when women actually lash out, it seems so much more extreme or crazier because we go the mental route. Basically the same point that I was trying to make before. It's like, yeah, it's obviously not good. Like when a man lashes out, he beats the shit out of you or he like does something like that. But, and that's like, again, in a very extreme. I'm just trying to make like a correlation to a female extreme of slashing your tires and calling your ex-girlfriend.
Let me make a point real quick. Let me make a point real quick. When me and my first girlfriend, when we were in high school, when we broke up, I didn't beat her up or anything. Actually, she swung on me.
Yeah.
She swung on me.
I don't want to like dismiss that, by the way. I'm
not claiming I'm a victim.
No, but I'm also fully aware that women will readily swing on men because they think that the man isn't going to hit them back.
Yeah.
And that's also like very not okay.
She was swinging on me. She punched me in the face a few times. And it was weird because like, so like I remember I was a junior or a senior. I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But I grabbed her. And like I tried to like throw her off me into like the grass that was right there.
Right, just to get her away.
But I missed and she like landed on the concrete that was like next to the grass.
Yeah.
And like that was it. But she punched me in the face like four times before that and I was like, get the fuck off me.
Right.
And then just kinda tossed her.
I think
the mental warfare, that was the only time we ever got physical.
Right.
But the mental warfare is I changed her password to like the Canvas, which has like all of the homework on it.
Yes, yeah.
I changed her password to, I'm not going to say her name, but her name.
Right.
And then I put it, her name is a hoe. And I changed her password to that.
Right.
And so for like a week, she couldn't turn in any of her homework or anything. And she was Asian, so it was like a big deal.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah. And then I remember I had a teacher. Her teacher pulled me out of class. And like I was in the hallway and I was like, what's up? And he was like, do you fucking, like, you do all this stuff? And I was like, nah, man. And he, like, grabbed me by, like, the, like, I wore t-shirts back then, too. Right. But he grabbed me, like, the collar of what would be a t-shirt collar.
Right.
And, like, pushed me against the wall. And he was like, listen, you little shit. And I was like, I didn't do anything, man. I promise. And I was like, are you assaulting me right now? And the guy was like, no. And I'm like, I don't know. This doesn't feel friendly. And then he, like, was like, we better watch yourself. And I was like, everybody watches me. And then he walked away, which was like a thing. Because back in high school, I was like the star athlete of the school. I was all this stuff. And so when I was like, everybody watches me.
Yeah.
And I only said that because I knew it would piss
him
off.
That was actually a flex.
It would
just
I knew it would piss him off. And I just remember him just walking away, just steaming. And then I remember texting her and be like, yeah, your password, you're a hoe. Like,
so I think I clarified my point a little bit. I think women are like, whether they want to admit it or not, like, as a female who's made fun of for being into fitness and, like, strong and she can beat anyone up, I'm pretty aware that I can't actually beat up most men, okay? Like, even men that are my size or smaller than me are probably stronger than me.
Right.
And I think on a biological level, we're aware of that. And therefore, now that it's not okay to hit women.
Now? Yeah.
Now that it's not okay to hit women.
I miss 2019, man.
Fuck, man. Pre-COVID days were wild.
Good old days.
But you know, now that it's less of a threat, like, we still retaliate with, like, equal or greater force of mental warfare as if we were about to get beat up.
Well, it's even weird. So here's where I think women are pieces of shit, in the sense of, there was this girl I knew that used to do comedy, and we ran a comedy show together back in LA. She doesn't do comedy anymore, but when we were scouting, for a venue for this comedy show, because the whole point was, I was doing shows in LA. I'm from Orange County,
right?
And people in Orange County would be like, oh, how are you getting all these shows in LA? And then people, my friends in LA, would be like, oh man, how do I get on shows in Orange County?
Right.
And so I wanted to find a venue that was halfway between Orange County and LA, which total distance is only 45 minutes. So I was like, if I could find a place that's 20 minutes away from each,
right,
book three comedians from Orange County, three comedians from LA, and a headliner.
Perfect.
This networking going. And this is back when I gave a fuck. I don't care now. I'm like, go get your own bookings.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Now, but back then, I was like, you know, like, I want to be like that guy that almost unites the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing. And it worked for the most part. But then by show three, the Orange County people would just sit with the Orange County people. The LA people would just sit with the LA people.
That's so funny.
And it's like, dude, fucking mingle, meet some people.
And also, like, hearing that here, like, 45 minutes of driving distance, not that much. Like, I literally said the same thing when I started Litty Titty at Creek, by the way. I was like, I know all the OG Austin people. I know all the new people. I'm going to make both of them do my show so they all like each other. And yeah.
It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. You got to get me on your show, by the way.
Yeah, the OG Austin people and the new people are just sitting in the green room both being like, who the fuck's that guy?
it is crazy, but it's also like, that's one of the beefs that I don't like quite understand, where it's
new,
like,
Austin versus old Austin.
It's like, yo, those new people had such a great opportunity and they just squandered it by being bitter,
dude.
They had the upper hand, and then
I'm
now
from
just,
here yeah
now
I'm,
they have the lower hand.
I'm from here. I feel like I was one of the people that was looking at it as an opportunity, where I was like, because when COVID hit, I was only 2 years into comedy. So I was like, not that far in.
Right.
And I honestly, like, Cap City was the only, like, high paying club here. Velveeta Room, I was cool with, whatever. Right. But, like, Cap City was the only one that, like, you could get actual hosting and feature gigs that paid well as a local comic. Which, and they fucking hated me.
Which is crazy to even have at all. Because you go to LA, you go to Orange County, like, those gigs don't fucking pay.
Yeah. And so we were lucky to have that. And, like, funniest person in Austin is an actual credit that, like, LA and New York would look at as, like, a real thing to win. So, like, pre-COVID, that was the goal, was to, like, do well in that competition. So maybe you could get a short Comedy Central, or, like, SNL might look at you or something. Like, you could get, like, Andrew Dismukes is from here. Devin Walker is from here. Both of them are on SNL now. Like, Andrew was discovered here.
Yeah.
So, like, there were eyes on the scene pre-COVID. It just was small, and Cap City was our only place to do it, you know? And so when I saw COVID hitting and, like, all these other things were starting to pop up, I was excited. And it was crazy for me, as someone who was from here, who didn't feel like I quite fit in with, like, the old Austin people, because I was still kind of new to them when COVID hit. And also, like, they were all so liberal. They fucking hated me from jump because I hunt. Like, quite honestly, I knew that. I'm not retarded, everyone. Chris Tellez didn't need to tell me that. But, like, it, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, I don't quite fit in with these guys anyway. Like,
right.
Fuck it. I'm just going to go see what other opportunities are at these new clubs that are opening up. And like, yeah, I was also shocked to see everyone acting that way, because there is a group of comedians that have been doing comedy for a long time here that I like and I think are funny, but they just refuse to go to any other club besides their spots.
And
you
I
know?
Would never, like, I don't even, like, I see the Moon Tower list drop and I'm like,
who are these people? Yeah.
It's also one of those things where...
And they are funny. I want to be clear. Like, they are
I'm
funny.
I'm sure they
but
are.
But it's like...
That's what makes it sad for me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, for me, it's like, I'm almost like... Because I've been in so many different scenes,
right?
Throughout whatever.
How many scenes have you lived in?
Lived in, like, yeah. Like actually resided in two.
Okay,
Orange County.
But you've regularly performed in many.
Regularly performed in many, and yeah. Where I could go and just get all the spots I want.
Yeah.
When I go back, and I know the professional comedians in that scene and yeah. The open micers.
Right.
So that's what I kind of define as like being in the scene, really. Like, yeah. You can just know the underworkings and like the
I've
drama.
Got a couple scenes like
you know,
that
the drama
too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And stuff where it's like, you know, so I go to the Ben scene, for right. example. The Ben scene, there's not really anybody there that's great, you know, and they
right.
know that.
But it's a smaller town.
They're a smaller town and they're working and that's what matters. They're getting right. better. There are funny people in that town, and the people that once they reach that level, they go to Portland or they go to...
I was
going to
say they'll move to Tacoma, Portland,
Seattle,
eventually LA.
Yeah,
yeah,
they'll move on. And so it's a training ground, but they're supportive. The last right. time, I don't think it was the last time, one of the last times I was there, they were doing some Portland comedy, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Some competition, some funniest person in Oregon.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck. And they had two people that were competing. And I was in, like, it wasn't the green room, it was just the back of the brewery we were doing.
Yeah.
But they were asking, like, hey, how did whatever the hell, how did they do, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, last time I heard them. And they were, like, genuinely happy.
Yeah.
For these two people.
Right.
And I was like, that's fucking weird. Because it's like, yo, anywhere else you go, you're like, oh, fuck that. You know, like, I hope they suck ass.
Right.
Because I want to get it next year. Like, right. all this stuff. And that's where it's like, it used to be the opposite, where it's like, yeah, I want to connect the scenes. I want to get these people bookings.
Right.
I want to do this stuff. And then you realize, you know what? I'm not motherfucking Teresa. Go get yourself booked. Go fuck yourself. Leave me alone. If you're not going to, I've had so many times where people ask me shit, and I'm like, you know what? You know, you've helped me out. Yeah, this is who books this show.
Right.
And then that person sends me a message of like a screenshot, and they're just like, the person's message to that person was like, yo, dog, I know Galen. What's up with the spot?
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, dude, I don't. And then I literally be like, I don't know that person. And it's
yeah.
like, yo, that's your message is yo, dog.
Yeah.
I've, like word for word, I've had that happen to me a few times where it's like, yo, dog, now I'll never, ever fucking help you out again. It's like, are you fucking serious,
it
bro?
Is, yeah, it is
yo,
silly.
Yo, dog.
Like, I don't feel much of a responsibility connecting like old Austin versus new Austin anymore, because I also feel like the old Austin people that have connected with new Austin are the ones that wanted to.
Right.
So it's like, I just book people that I think are funny on my shows now, but like Litty Titty is a gong show. So it's like, I get so many people looking for last minute spots. And or like I get a lot of people who have never been booked at a club before trying to get a spot. And I actually do give a couple of spots away like that because it's a gong show. So it's like, this is your chance to do well. And maybe like someone at the Creek sees you. Or if you suck, you're done in 90 seconds and the audience will tell you that.
Does that actually really happen, though? I feel
it
like
does.
Every time I've seen it, nobody's really gotten gonged off.
I would say the audience has been getting nicer, but people definitely get gonged still.
Okay.
I also give me and the co-host God powers if we want to be mean to like tell someone they're being bad, you know?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I could host with you then.
This
guy sucks dick.
I personally don't take the God power. Like, I don't just hit the gong, but like, sometimes I have co-hosts that are like, nah, fuck this guy. And like, it's fine. I let the co-host make that decision. But I say that because it's like, I don't mind giving people opportunities or helping where I can.
That's awesome.
But it is pretty crazy what they think I can do for them just because I have this Tuesday show at the Creek in the Cave. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's also crazy the audacity to message me the day of the show or show up at the show. If you're not like someone who's already famous, like I do have famous people, like quote unquote famous or like
right.
on their way famous people, or like, you know, if Cam Patterson shows up and wants to do a spot, I'm letting him do a spot. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like if someone bigger, like if Holtzman shows up who he has before, like I will let him do a spot, you
right.
know, like
totally.
But like
I would gong his ass.
It was very funny watching Holtzman go up and like no one could gong him. I literally refused to hit the gong for him. It was so funny. And the audience is also petty half the time with
yeah.
that too. But you know, like I get those messages all the time too, where they're like, hey, I'm coming to Austin. Can you help me with this? And I'll be like, yeah, you know, I don't have a show that time or whatever. Like, I have a list of show bookers in my phone that I'm willing to send people.
Right.
But really? Don't use me as a vouch. And I only do that for certain people that are clear. Like, if you message me like, hey, I'm so-and-so from Chicago. Here's my credits. Here's a tape. I would love any bookings or people you can point me to. If it's something like that.
Do you watch the tape?
Usually no. For Litty Titty, I don't.
It's usually trash.
Usually, I will be very honest. For Litty Titty, I usually don't. If they have good credits, I'm expecting them to be decent. And if they don't have good credits, but they can send me a tape, I have a couple of spots like that because I'm like, okay, maybe you're a wild card is what I call those.
Right, right.
Because I'll book 10 to 12 people against the gong.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's a long ass show.
It's 5 minute sets. So 12 people against the gong is 70 minutes. Yeah. You know, so. Even if everyone makes it the whole time. So, you know, I've
12 times 5 is 60, but.
Well, 70, like with the hosts.
Oh, okay.
Like,
All right. I just didn't want to sound like I was the dumb one. Right? I was like, wait, hold on.
We got to give some banter and transition time. But, yeah, so it's like, you know, I've gotten the science, math, whatever, pretty dialed in on that.
Right.
But like, you know, I leave a couple wild card spots where it's like, okay, we don't know how these people are because I honestly don't want to watch your tape. Like, if you can't, because I also get people who message me like, hey, I'm down to do your show sometime, and that's it. And I'm like,
I'm sure you
are. Do you have a tape? Like, thank you so much for being willing to do my show, dude. I'm so happy that you're available.
I've seen too many screenshots where it's literally, yo, dog, I know Galen. What's up with the spot, though? It's like, what the fuck?
If any comedians...
It's like, I don't even hit those people up like that. I know them.
Yeah, it's like, if any comedians have listened this far, don't message like that.
It's literally, I'll like the most relaxed I'll ever hit somebody up is like... Hey man, I'll be in town from this to this. If you have any upcoming availability,
yeah.
Like, but that even that's pretty lax.
That's
not just,
very lax.
Not yo dog.
Yeah, the hey man message is someone whose show you've already done.
Yes,
and you're like, hey, hey man, I'm coming back to town.
I'll be in town.
Here's an updated tape. Yeah. Like, yeah.
If you have any availability,
yeah, you or know, you know like, anyone that I can hit up.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me know.
Exactly.
I don't even ask for them to like. Connect me. I'm like, hey, if there's someone I can bother, just give me their handle. Like, I don't even want you to do any extra work.
Yeah.
I'm not your booking agent, you know? Like, yeah. And I think people just, Austin is like a hot spot right now for that too. Like, everyone just wants to come check out Austin. So they're like, oh, flights are cheap this week. Let me just go. I bet I can drop in on 10 shows.
And you can't.
No.
Yeah.
Locals can't do that.
Too many people are already here.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
I got to piss really bad. We've been rolling for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything that you want to talk about?
I already mentioned my show. I do a show called Litty Titty Tuesdays at the Creek in the Cave. Look it up. Creekincave.com.
Cool.
Well, my name's Allie Woe on all the Instagrams.
You just plugged it before I got to do the normal thing.
Sorry.
I usually say if there's, you know, this is a really fun episode with Allison Vodovich.
I'm taking your job. Sorry.
I usually leave the final minute of the guest of the podcast to plug whatever, say whatever. Any final parting words of wisdom you might have in case you die on the way home. So now you just get the parting words of wisdom part.
Parting words of wisdom. You're not a loser if you're happy. Follow me on Instagram at Alliwo, A-L-L-I-W-O.
Thanks for doing the podcast.
Thank you. This is fun.